So as Jeremy alluded to, today is a contemplative Sunday. Today is a day to look inward and maybe interact with Christ from a different area of intelligence and not just our brain. I think of an old pastor in the faith tradition I grew up in, and he used to have this phrase. It was usually in rebuttal to me or my other friend wanting to talk about something we were learning in college, but he would say, "I don't necessarily want to know more about God, I just want to know God more." And you know, like a good evangelical church pastor, he had those little phrases, you know what I mean? But there were some nuggets in there, and I think at the heart of what he meant was hopefully the goal of today is to know more of that presence, right? And to know more, not just the gift, but the giver of the gift. And to know God maybe more intimately and deeper. And so as a community, as a teaching team, we think that this is a good rhythm for us to get into, where we try to, do I have any teaching team? Bob, is it once a month we're trying to do contemplatives, or is it like every 2 months? Do you recall? Is it once? Okay. It's a new rhythm. But yeah, this is a rhythm we think is good for our souls. And so why don't we just start in prayer? And just to let you guys know, we're going to have a video a little later to watch. And then some prayer time and some specific type of prayer. But I want you to hear from the get-go that this entire morning is designed to move us towards the table, to move us closer and closer to intimacy with Christ. So I'll let you know along the way some of the things that we're going to be doing. There'll be some time just to be quiet, and I recognize that that can be hard for some of us. But in that stillness, some really beautiful things happen. So let me just pray, and then we'll get going. Creator God, maker of the universe, we are here together to collectively open up ourselves to you. So I pray, God, that our minds would be open, that we would suspend judgment, that we would have curious minds about this mystery of life, about this mystery of the lover of our souls. Allow us to listen with curiosity today. Not only to the words spoken from the front or from the video, but that we would be quiet and listen to the small, still voice. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to examine us. May we have open hearts, God, today, open to you, open to receive what you have, and may we remain open with one another. Lord, I ask that whatever you allow to flow into us today, that we would be conduits and allow it to flow out of us into a world, into situations, into people's lives that need it desperately. God, I confess that I am not the best conduit. I blow it daily. thankful that this life with you is not something that we have to earn, but it's a rhythm. It's an invitation that we can say yes to on the daily. I pray today that we would all collectively say yes to you in a new way. Yes to your guiding. Yes to your prompting. Yes to the truth that you love us. We're here. We're glad you are too. Amen. So at the sunrise service, we explored briefly what it means to be resurrection people. That as we celebrate on Easter, the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, we celebrate his teachings, we celebrate his resurrection, we celebrate his death, all those things going on, it's not a one-time event. It's something that we're called to take in with us the rest of our days. So as we've experienced that invitation, the death to life invitation that we see all around, the idea is that we can bring that invitation, not only accept it on the daily, but we can bring that into situations. We can bring that into our relationships. We can bring resurrection wherever we go. The way that I see it, and I think even some of the illustrations that Jesus used as he talked about the kingdom, is it's like an infection. It's like the seed, this unwanted weed or this yeast, and it just grows. And as resurrection people, we get to bring that type of energy, ideally, right? These are big ideals. We get to bring that energy into situations, into relationships, into places that so desperately need the kingdom of God to invade. As conduits of Ruach, the Spirit of God, we are to share the transformative power of resurrection, again, with ourselves, with our families, our neighbors, out into the world. But if we can be these conduits, that means sometimes we can get closed off, right? We can get caught up in the rat race. Lent is over. That hope that we were looking for towards the cross, we've celebrated. And maybe for some of us, it's right back into that old rhythm and that old routine. We can get caught up in the way of the world. We can get caught up in the way of the ego. We can get caught up in the vapor of it all. As conduits, we got to be careful that we don't get crusty. Like those mineral deposits collecting on our appliances here in Ventura. Today's contemplative service is designed to open us up, to shake off the collected dust and the mineral deposits of life, to rouse our soul and prepare us to meet with God in union and in truth. Don't think that you have to be around the Jesus community, culture, Christianity too long to know that it seems like it's supposed to all start with being still, right? That awareness of being still. And as a result of being still, right, there's this other like, and know that I'm God. I'm not really good at being still. Even when I can be still physically, oh my gosh. Anybody else? This thing is not good at being still. And if I can quiet this, oh my gosh, then it's just quiet enough and I can hear this, and this is not good at being still. I'm going to assume a few of you humans are sharing a similar experience that I'm having throughout the world when you try to be still and be quiet. So today, as we move towards the table, I want you to bear in mind this image of like plumbing. this conduit, if you will, and all the things that have collected, all the tension and the squeeze that's made you constricted. Everything today is designed to move us towards a place of flow, openness, so that we can receive and be in union with Christ. So we're going to start with a breathing prayer. And so what I'd love for you guys to do is, it looks like you already have comfortable seats. Feel free to sit, friends. I'll say this really quick. If you get so comfortable today that you fall asleep, praise God. You must need it. Yeah. And in my mind, as an idealist, what better place to take a nap than hearing scripture being spoken over you or prayer happening? So no shame, no worry. As we get quiet and go inward and breathe, it's the mind's natural function to go elsewhere. And so I think I want you, especially those of you that are maybe new to breathing like contemplatively or breathing exercises or meditation or mindfulness, a good reminder to tell you is that it is in the mind's nature and the cycle to stay focused and to lose focus, and to stay focused and lose focus. And actually, the idea of mindfulness is to return, to come back to the present moment, to be here. And so even as we are about to just sit, and I'm going to teach you a breathing prayer, your minds will wander. Your minds will participate in that cycle where you're here and then you go elsewhere. Have compassion on yourself. You're not being judged. You're not being graded. Little baby Jesus is not crying because you can't stay focused. It's in your nature. So if you can ideally sit upright for blood flow. Ideally, your feet are planted on the floor, feeling that you are safe and secure and grounded. Again, I say that ideally. I know my body hurts, so you know your limitations. If you can just place your attention on your breath. And what I mean by that is maybe for some of you that overthink that, the felt sensation, just place the attention. I actually think this space right here where the air goes in through your nose. And just pay attention to what that feels like. And see if you can follow your breath. And the idea is that we want to go in and down. Why don't we all collectively do three deep breaths through the nose. And as you focus on your breath, let me remind you that in that opening of Genesis, in that opening poem, it said the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Later in that poem, it tells us that God breathes his breath into us. Can you place attention on your breath in such a way that you can actually feel the energy, the vitality of the inhale? Going into all those spaces that need it in your body. And as you consider that breath of life that was breathed in the garden into Adam and into Eve, into life, into humanity. Remember that the word in Hebrew for breath and spirit and wind is ruach. There's a level of intimacy connection with God in the breath. This thing that graciously happens in a rhythm that you don't have to force. I'm pretty sure I've pointed this out before. Maybe you've heard it from someone else in the teaching team, but Father Richard Rohr shares a breathing prayer that I'd like to share with you. So in this place that you're at, in quiet, focusing on your breath, if you can switch your breathing over to your mouth, and on your inhale, Yahweh is one of the only words in Hebrew that you can say without using your mouth, meaning forming lips. The first word on your lips when you entered this world was Yahweh. You were made for relationship with the Creator. The last word that I'll leave our lips will be Yahweh. Whether you know it or not, again, as you notice your mind wander, even to good things, just take note of it and come back to the breath. Still, know that I'm God. Quiet your mind. Be still. I'll calm the storm in your soul. Be still. Be open. Be open to receive.
Divrei Kohelet ben David, Melech Birushalayim, Havel Havalim Amar Kohelet. Havel avalim, hakol havel, ma yitron
ladan. Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless.
Sheyamol tachat hashamesh, dor holech.
Most scientists estimate that the universe is 13.77 billion years old, and that the Earth is 4.54 billion years old. While human beings have only been on Earth for less than 200,000 years. To put those numbers in perspective, if you stretched out your arms and your entire wingspan was representative of Earth's geological history, and then you took a nail file and took just a little bit of the edge off of your fingernail, you would have just wiped out all human history. There's this Carl Sagan quote about a photo of Earth taken from Voyager on its way out to deep space that echoes the sentiments of Qohelet, the teacher, in the ancient wisdom book called Ecclesiastes. Here's the quote. "Look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've ever heard of, every human being who ever was lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. So here we are on this pale blue dot, tiny specks of dust coming into existence for a moment, hurling through space and time, only to flicker back out after a few moments. These moments, these are all we have in this life. We work, we laugh, we cry. We make love, we write books, we build empires, we wage wars. But we often try to ignore the fact that these moments are temporary. That all our empires and the gross national product, our art and our literature, our $300 designer jeans, all of our knowledge and technology, creativity and legacy is erased. It's all going to flicker out at some point with everything else. Vapor. Havel. Meaningless. Everything and everyone is a vapor. Here for a few moments. And then gone. This sobering thought can be depressing, or it could be absolutely freeing. We can either go the way of many around us and ignore this fact, medicating and numbing ourselves in avoidance of the truth of our humanity. Or maybe there's another way. We could embrace it. We could recognize our humble place in this universe. We could recognize the silliness of human arrogance and empire. And perhaps as a result, we could learn to appreciate and fully experience the moments that we have as the gifts that they are. Think about when you were young. Do you remember getting worried and stressed about things, things that seemed so important at the time? Now, how do you feel about those things? The issues that felt like life and death, like how the kids didn't give you a fair turn on the playground that day. How do you feel about that now? Do you laugh about it? Does it seem silly? So what are you worried about today? Do you really think it is any less silly than what you were worried about as a child? Your job? Vapor. Your apartment? Vapor. Your school loans? Vapor. Everything and everyone you love and worry about? It's all vapor. Are you worried about being unique or important? In our society, we worship our individuality. We love to talk about our fingerprints and snowflakes and how every individual is unique. But have you ever looked at a snowflake? I mean, they're all kind of the same. Back the camera up a little bit, and you are nothing but a human being, a speck of dust. Time and space, not all that distinguishable from the 7 billion other specks of dust swirling around you. How many of our moments on the pale blue dot do we waste worrying and stressing about the vapor? The Kohelet, the teacher, in Ecclesiastes shows us the vanity of human toil and worry. Another teacher came and taught about the vapor like this: "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what are you so worried about? What causes you stress? Because it's going to the dirt like everything and everyone else. It is vapor, mist, smoke, havel. This doesn't have to be depressing. In fact, it might even be liberating. Finitude, after all, is actually what makes life sweet. Christmas time can be such a wonderful and magical time of year because it only happens once a year, not in spite of it. Parents treasure their moments with their young children at home precisely because they know those moments won't last forever, not in spite of that truth. So take a breath. Recognize your frailty. Recognize that the things that feel so weighty and worrisome in the back of your mind right now are nothing but vapor. Feel your breath. Recognize your lungs keeping you alive without your ability to make them work or not. Your heart is beating. Your cells are working together to keep you alive. And it's all magical, mysterious, and beautiful. Life on planet Earth is a gift, and you only get it for as long as you get it. And then the match gets blown out. So set your hearts not on things of Earth, not on the vapor, but let go. Fully open your heart to both the gift and the giver. The mystery, the beauty, that in which we live and move and have our being, that which we call God, the oneness who holds the vapor together, who somehow brings meaning into the meaningless.
Turn to the breath. I'd like to you to imagine yourself again as a conduit that allows the Spirit of God to freely flow through you. Spirit, reveal to us those places in our life that we are reaching for the vapor, that we are trying to hold the intangible. We are giving far too much energy to. Spirit, show us those areas where we have handed over our own will. And in its place, we have fear. We have anger. We have resentment. We have disconnection. Give us eyes to see that vapor around us, that we might focus on what is eternal, on what is true, on what is beautiful. If you can stay in that place of just contemplation, ideally inward, let me pray this over you. From Matthew. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anybody willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. And you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. To continue to remove the mineral deposits and dust that has been collected, we're going to move into a time of prayer of recollection, where we honestly sit with God and claim our identity as beloved. So in this portion, this particular prayer has a few steps, and I'll explain some of the instructions to you guys, and then we'll kind of move into those spaces. So right now we're just going to present ourselves to God. And so feel free to pray these words as I do. In your mind, repeat them, change them up a little bit if you need to, but we'll start with this. Lord, I am here. I present myself to you. Open my heart to the truth of what is going on in my life. This is where I get to remind you guys of resurrection. The goal in this first portion is to open ourselves up to the truth that in Christ, and by means of the Christ in you, that you have already died along with Christ to that old Adam nature that used to live out of tune with God. So can you open yourselves up to this truth? This idea of dying daily, of picking up our cross, to die to oneself, seems like something we're supposed to go through over and over and over. And Christ set the example, he set the tone, the rhythm, and presented the invitation. So can you open to that truth? That in Christ, and by means of the Christ in you, that you have already died to that old, out of tune Adam nature. Now I'm going to pray a prayer of detachment, and I would invite you to pray these words internally as well. At the core of my spirit, I am no longer an angry person, a fearful person, a worrier, At the core of my spirit, I am not an arrogant person. Prideful, greedy, envious. At the core of my spirit, I am not distrustful, unkind, stingy, impatient, jealous, full of malice, wrath. At the core, my identity is no longer being a sinner, wicked, rebellious, and unloving. Now you get to fill in the blanks. At the core, I am not. It's a good time to confess any darkness of the heart that is brought up to your conscious level by the Spirit. Affirm to your soul and the Lord your true identity in Christ and as the Christ in you. Would you pray this prayer of attachment with me? I am now clothed with Christ's righteousness, with full pardon from guilt and full acceptance from God. I am God calls me his beloved. That is who I am. And by the Spirit, at the core of my personality, I have put on his fruits of love, compassion, humility, kindness, forgiveness, gentleness, patience, self-control, peace, and goodness. That is who I truly am. God calls me his beloved. Center of all reality, there is a loving dance that is inviting all of us, all of creation, to participate. You are God's beloved. He calls you his beloved. From that place of new love, of new life, of new breath, resolve in your heart and in prayer to live from your identity as beloved, to put off the old and put on the new, by setting your mind continually on Christ, who is your life. And as the appropriate moments arise, to let go of any sin or old self residue and to live out who you are from your heart. He calls you beloved. You were made for union with Christ. Now would you join me in this prayer of obedience? Lord, may my mind and heart all day open to Christ, who is my life. And may I have the wisdom when the time is right to lay aside the old person residue and all its old ways and strategies and simply put on Christ to obey you in all the things and to reaffirm who I really am in Christ. Lord, have mercy. Invite you back into your breathing prayer. If the word Yahweh is too much, you can focus on words like Jesus or love, shalom. Just find that rhythm. Make note to yourself how you feel, your felt sensations. Make note if the burden feels lighter. Make note of this place. Make note of this moment. And know that you can return to your breath at any time in the day. You can return to that holy word. And you can regulate. You can be in the present moment. You can be still. You can know that you are beloved. From this place, we can recognize the vapor a lot easier. From this place, we can recognize the rat race and the amount of our own life force that we are handing over to these other places. And we can come back to the breath. We can come back to that knowledge of belovedness. We're going to transition into a time of communion. I'll stay right there. I'm going to read over some stuff and pray, and as you feel led at the end, I'll remind you again, but as you feel led, you can come up to the table to participate in your belovedness. So in this meal, we remember the life, death, and resurrection of the one who still takes on flesh among us today. On the night he would be arrested, Jesus gathered his friends and companions. In the midst of a tense and dangerous time, they found each other at the table, connecting over the story of God enfleshed among them. And as they did so, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he also took the cup, gave thanks to God, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, breath of God, renewer of life. Would you settle on these gifts and all who gather here, that we might be transformed in our remembrance of your radical love, your eternal embrace, and your grace that makes all things new. For the sake of our shared lives, the life of this land on which we live, and the lives of those yet to come, nourish us and renew our hope that soon Christ may rise again among us. And so, Jesus, we thank you for the table. We thank you for the loaf and for the cup. We thank you for this new way of living. We thank you that there's nothing we have to do to accept it. Holy Spirit, get us in line, get us in tune with Christ. Get us in tune with resurrection. Come alive in us. Paul reminds us that if the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is the Spirit that we have access to, right? How much more life can be breathed into these old bodies of ours? If you feel like the dust has been pushed away enough and you're open to the truth about who you are in Christ, I guess I shouldn't make it a contingency on that, sorry, but when you're ready, come on up to the table. Spirit of God, as close as the air we breathe. Would you breathe new life into us? Would you grow resurrection in us? Guide us in the ways of Jesus. Encourage us to live out of those characteristics of a beloved heart. May love increase. May forgiveness increase. May peace increase. Spirit, thank you for this time. Thank you for reminding us of our belovedness. May we interact with one another from a place of belovedness. May we recognize that all are welcome. All have a seat at the table. All are on a journey. Spirit of God, as you guide us, would you also use us as conduits to guide others? It's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. A couple things to share with you before we get out of here. First of all, thank you for being willing to participate in a service like this. This is probably pretty different for a lot of you. Second, I have copies printed out of the Prayer of Recollection. It's from Dr. Koh, who is a psychologist and a theologian. I've got copies of those out there for you at the Welcome Center. And lastly, if there's anyone interested in spending more time exploring this concept of, like I was saying earlier and praying earlier, that at the center of the universe is this dance of mutual submission and love, something we call the Trinity. But Kevin Clark still has some space in his book group. It meets on Tuesday nights at 7. They're going through a book called The Divine Dance by Richard Rohr, exploring the Trinity and the impacts of that exploration, like what it has on our life. You can check out our app or our website for more information. And now I'd like to leave you with a benediction from the Book of Common Prayer. Those of you that are capable and willing, if you wouldn't mind standing to receive this benediction. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen. May you go in peace.